This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Another setback in the Senate for the bill to provide health care to September 11th attack first responders who became sick because of their work. Kentucky Republican Rand Paul stopping Democrats who wanted to unanimously pass the bill on a voice vote. Paul says he wants a debate on the bill because it includes new spending.
We need to at the very least have this debate. I will be offering up an amendment if this bill should come to the floor, but until then I will object.
Despite Paul's action, the bill is still expected to ultimately win overwhelming passage in a few weeks. The Democratic National Committee's security chief warning Democratic presidential hopefuls not to use Face App, the popular smartphone app that's been trending lately that makes people look older, security experts saying it was developed by Russians and raises security issues. And this is USA Radio News.
This report is brought to you by Crescent Tools. Most toolboxes contain a crescent wrench, which tradesmen and DIYers have trusted for more than a century. But what many call a crescent wrench isn't always the real deal. The reason? True crescent wrenches are made by Crescent Tools, which started producing the adjustable wrench in 1907. However, few realize that Crescent is the brand, not the tool. Nor do they understand that Crescent makes more than just wrenches. Brendan Walsh, Director of Product Management at Crescent Tools.
What a person thinks is a crescent wrench may just be an adjustable wrench, and there's a difference. We've innovated the crescent wrench to meet the needs of today's tool user and have expanded to offer a solid crew of tools in addition to wrenches.
While wrenches are their signature products, Crescent manufactures 2,800 tools including files, snips, storage cabinets, and measuring tapes, establishing Crescent Tools as one of the most respected professional hand tool brands in the world. So, the next time you reach into your toolbox, check to see if it's actually a crescent wrench or an imposter. For more information, visit www.crescenttool.com.
President Trump campaigns at a rally in North Carolina last night.
The Democrat agenda is anti-worker, anti-jobs, anti-citizen, anti-family, and anti-common sense.
At the rally, the president also continued his attacks on four minority women in the U.S. House, all Democrats, Trump painting the congresswomen as radical left-wing ideologues, and called the freshman lawmakers those who see the U.S. as a force of evil. More U.S. troops are headed to the southern border, the Pentagon announcing it has approved a request to deploy 2,100 troops in support of President Trump's immigration crackdown. 1,000 will come from the Texas National Guard. The rest will be active duty. Pentagon officials say they'll help with things like logistical support and aerial surveillance. First-time jobless claims up by about 8,000 last week, a little bit more than analysts were predicting. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
The world's most notorious drug lord has finally been sentenced after a trial in the United States. USA's Chris Barnes has details.
62-year-old Joaquin El Chapo Guzman sentenced to life in an American prison. In the past, he had broken out of several Mexican prisons and remained on the run for years. His lawyer, Jeremy Lichtman, says his client was not given a fair trial, and they're going to appeal.
All we asked for was fairness. And no matter what you think of Joaquin Guzman, he still deserves a fair trial.
Guzman's expected to serve his time in the Supermax facility in Colorado. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The Ebola outbreak in Congo has led to the declaration of an international health emergency. The declaration by the World Health Organization comes after Ebola spread to the Congo capital city, Goma. Dr. Robert Stephen is with the WHO.
This is still a regional emergency and by no way a global threat.
More than 1,600 people have died this year in Congo in the second deadliest Ebola outbreak in history. Director General Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus hopes the government of Congo doesn't overreact.
Closing borders could have disastrous consequences for the lives and livelihoods of the people who cross the border.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's growing.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, good to have you with us. I am Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, you want to go to BillMartinezLive.com. Hey, by the way, we got cut off a little bit in our earlier conversation. I meant to share this with you with April Schneider, April with B of A. The website that you want to check out if you want more information on helping your children to become financially independent, highly recommended. Check it out. Great information there. BankofAmerica.com, okay, BankofAmerica.com/student. What do they call that? Space or tag or whatever. What is that? What do they call that? I used to call it a hyphen, but you know what I'm talking about. Okay. Anyway, student-banking. Okay. So bankofamerica.com/student-banking, and that's how you get to their website. And so that will be absolutely awesome for you to check out. All right, great story here to share with you about Lulu Roman. Now, Lulu Roman, we're going back a ways for those of us that remember Hee Haw, right? Well, laughter and tears are the tour guides through the zany, often misguided, sometimes tragic, and ultimately miraculous redemptive life of Hee Haw's beloved Lulu Roman. You may remember her, and she has just released a new book called This Is My Story, This Is My Song. It is an authorized autobiography of the one and only Lulu, and she joins us now. Lulu Roman, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. I'm well. How are you?
Hey, I'm terrific, and especially right now, I'm blessed to be talking to you, and our audience has been looking forward to, you know, hearing your story. I mean, because what happens a lot with celebrities is that people envision an idea and a story life, and we're really moved when we really understand that there's humanity behind all this celebrity.
Uh-huh. There really is.
Right. So tell us your story. Where did it all begin?
Oh, my goodness.
It was a log cabin? Was it a log cabin?
There's more than you could ever imagine.
Right.
It all began in Dallas, Texas. Okay. Mm-hmm. When I was, oh, goodness, I'm going to say 2.5, maybe right at 3,
mm-hmm.
I was taken to a place. At that time, it was called Buckner's Orphan's Home.
Uh-huh.
And dropped off, basically just dropped off in this orphan's home.
Oh, wow.
I found out many years later what the deal or whatever you call it was with my mother and the grandmother and all that stuff, and it was pretty tragic. It was. My mother had been hit in the head with bottles and...
Mm.
Skillets and all kinds of stuff. And
this is by your grandmother?
Yes, and my grandfather.
Oh,
they were
oh.
alcoholics.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And she was, the whole time that I was in the orphan's home, she was in a mental institution called Carroll. It was very famous, you know,
mm-hmm. right.
in the Dallas area. And I I did not even find that out until, oh, goodness, probably 20, 25 years ago. What the
thing was.
Mm.
But she had enough sense, at least at that point in time, before she gets admitted into a mental facility, to protect you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm sure in between that, but in between that 20 years, you know, like anything, like any young child, the effect of that, you have this sense of rejection and, you know, you're, and a lot of questions, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. No kidding. You know, I mean, from the very beginning, you know, who am I, you know? Why do I not get to have a mother and a father and a home and a room of my own and, you know, all the things that go with a normal family?
Mm-hmm.
And being dropped off in an orphan's home was...
And what's that like, you know, as best you can recall about life in an orphanage?
You, just to be real frank with you, I mean, I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
I was 2 1/2, maybe 3 years old.
Right.
And I remember the day that they left me. I remember I wanted to just go away.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, I wasn't understanding it was, you know, I wanted to die. I just wanted to disappear.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Because I didn't, you know, I felt like I was being thrown away.
Right. So what helped you get through? I mean, well, you're 3, 4 years old. This is how... You know, this is the next chapter of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, you just, you want to go away. You know, it's like,
yeah,
you've discarded me. Well, just that's fine. I'll just accept being discarded.
Mm-hmm. The best that I could do is try to find friends to, you know, to help in some way. And the only way that they could really help was to just talk.
Mm-hmm.
Just talk to each other. And, you know, a lot of us had been through the same things, and that's what kind of bonded you together, was not only the idea, but the fact that you had been discarded.
Right.
That you had been, you know, put away where people would not know, you know, what
and
happened to you. Or,
exactly.
You know.
Well, and days turn into weeks, to months, to years.
Forever.
Yeah, so how long were you in the orphanage?
I was in the orphanage until I turned 18 years old.
All that time?
Yeah, because
wow.
You either got adopted or you graduated. When you graduated, you were out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happened. I actually stayed long enough to graduate. And after you graduate, you got a week to get your stuff and get out, you know?
You got a week.
Uh-huh.
Now,
really even less than that, you know.
Well, what kind of preparation do they give you? I mean,
they gave us a suitcase.
No, but I mean, are they like a couple of years going, hey, Lulu, you know, you got a couple of years here. We got to start getting you ready for real life.
Or
is it just like, you know, a week before you go, here's your suitcase, start packing, and you're out the door?
Pretty much what it was.
Oh, yeah. Lord have mercy. Oh, my gosh. So what do you do? I mean, 18, you got your suitcase, you're out the door.
The only thing that really kind of saved me at that point was that my best friend was also from the orphan's home. So we went out together,
mm-hmm.
and we got an apartment together.
So you're like Laverne and Shirley here, you two, huh?
Yes, that was exactly what we were. Yeah. Except we didn't skip up many sidewalks. We ran down some.
Right.
'Cause we got jobs at the telephone company, and that was kind of in one of the bad parts of Dallas.
Oh, well.
So you ran down the street. And our little apartment was just down the street from the phone company because we had no car, you know. Had no way to get any transportation, certainly not to pay for it, you know.
Mm. Here you two are trying to figure out life together, coming from an orphanage. You land a job, and, of course... along the way, you're starting to learn some harder lessons of life.
Mm-hmm.
You get involved with drugs, right?
Yeah, I did very quickly.
Uh-huh.
I actually started messing with drugs in school.
Even in an orphanage, you were. Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, see, they sent us out to public schools for the last couple of years, and that's where I learned how to do drugs.
Oh, wow.
I learned I could get high enough to get away from the ugliness of reality.
Ah.
And that reality was, number one, what people had said to me all my life. My grandmother started, you know, you're fat, you're ugly, and no one will ever love you.
Mm.
And then just trying to live with who you had become.
Exactly. Typecast. Well, we've got to go to break. We're going to pick it up from there when we come back. More from Lulu
okay.
Roman after
Hello,
this.
Patriots. My name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today, we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Right here, right now. Bill Martinez, live.
So I think it is beyond time. It's beyond time to ask Muslims to condemn terrorists. We are no longer going to allow the dignification of such ridiculous, ridiculous statement.
Hey, we're back. with you. Fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us. I am Bill Martinez. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, our conversation with Lulu Roman and her new book, This Is My Story, This Is My Song. Imagine early childhood, 3-4 years old. She's, you know, taken to a home, an orphanage. Her mother is dealing with mental issues. She's in a mental facility. Lulu is growing up surrounded by other orphans, goes all the way through school, 18 years old, and she times out, basically, out of the orphanage. And so she's got a suitcase and the world ahead of her. And a girlfriend, like Laverne and Shirley, you heard me say, go together to try to figure life out. But meanwhile, Lulu has picked up a couple of habits earlier as she's going to school outside of the orphanage and learns about drugs and is involved with drugs. And you got in trouble. And probably it was getting in trouble a bit here that maybe in a weird sort of way put you on a redeeming road, did it not?
Ultimately it did, yes, because ultimately I got busted not once but twice for possession of dangerous drugs and was looking at like 20-some-odd years in the penitentiary.
Wow.
So I had made a pretty good little mess out of my life, and I ran into one of those kids I grew up with in the orphan's home, and it was her that God used to set me on the right path, and her name is Diane Brady, and it was her sister, her older sister, who was my best friend and who was my roommate and who got out of the orphan's home with me. And we got our first apartment together and, you know, acted crazy and had great fun. And Diane was just kind of there to watch some of it. And the Lord literally put her in place to move my life into a different direction.
Now, was she already, was she a Christian already? Did she have a Christian influence in her life? Yes, okay.
She did. And she had talked to me about it several times before, but, you know, having grown up in this orphan's home, it was, quote, a religious organization.
Right.
And so I was sick of it. I was sick of people trying to shove God down my throat. And I didn't want any part of it. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. I figured if I'd been thrown away and, nobody really cared, then why not have some fun, you know?
Right.
So I just decided I'd do everything I could that I thought would be fun and exciting. And it definitely was fun for a while. It was definitely exciting because it was you're always on that edge where you're going to get busted and go away. You know?
Right, right.
And it was very eye-opening, shall we say.
I bet. If not rather fearful all at the same time, exciting. And as you say, I mean, that's the thing about, you know, about sin, as they say, is that it can be fun, but there's always the consequences, and the consequences of sin can be very extreme. So here it is. You've got door number one or door number two. Door number one is your story, your way, or you go through door number two, and you decide to go through door number two, and along the way, hee-haw comes along. Tell us about that.
It does. I had been working at the telephone company, and I got relieved of that job, you know, within a couple of years. What happened was at the top of my bucket list was I wanted to learn how to cuss.
You wanted to learn how to cuss? That was your bucket list? I love that. Okay.
So I got that down really well.
Uh-huh.
And I had people flying
down. Plus, Southern women, you cuss in syllables.
Yes, you do.
They're endless. I mean, I know this may be shocking to some of our faith-believing audience, but this is humanity, and we're being just, you know, tenderly raw here, just a little bit, at least honest at best. But anyway, yes, I think it's quite cute sometimes.
Service assistants running down the middle of the thing there saying, you can't say that. You can't say that to which I said, I just did.
Yeah, right. Hey, you could be a congresswoman and say more than that, let me tell you, these days.
Really?
So.
And so I was quickly relieved of my job. I did get to stay a little bit longer because I found out that if you were a union steward, you could stay longer. So I was smart enough to jump that one, you know.
Right, exactly.
But then I found myself kind of out in the street with no place to go and nothing to do and not really a lot of talent for, you know, any kind of an office position or whatever you would do for a job. So, I mean, I was really just kind of out there. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea what was going to, you know, what I was going to do. And I had friends at work at the telephone company that had that went to the country nightclubs at night. And so I started to go with them a couple of times. And in doing that, I met entertainers. Mm-hmm. And I met Buck Owens. And Buck and I got to be good friends. He used to say, girl, you are the funniest thing I have ever seen. And he said, one of these days, you're going to be a big star, and I'm going to have something to do with it.
And this is Buck Owens telling you this out of nowhere.
Cowboy hat, and I'd say, keep talking, baby. You know? I didn't know who Buck Owens was, honey. I was a hippie kid.
Yeah.
I had no information about country music or country stars. You know?
I competed with his radio station in Bakersfield, California. It was one of my early jobs.
Sure,
so
that
we go back a ways. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so. I mean, he owns all of Bakersfield.
Yeah, exactly.
And how many radio stations?
Yeah.
Hundreds?
Yeah.
But, I met Buck, and we got to be good friends. And every time he would come to town, he would call and say, listen, we're coming. Why don't you grab a bunch of girlfriends and come down and have dinner and see the show? And so that's what we did.
Uh-huh.
So one night the phone rang and it was Buck. And I thought, I said, when are you coming to town? He said, I'm not. And I said, well, where are you? He said, I'm in Canada. And I said, what are you wasting your money for calling me then? You know? And he said, sit down and shut up, Lou, because he knew what a talker I was. And he explained to me that he was in Canada. He'd met a couple of old boys that were from Canada that had put together this idea of a country and western type laugh in. And they had this list of all the characters that they wanted. You know, one gorgeous blonde, one gorgeous brunette, one boy next door type, one girl next door type, one fat dumb man, one fat dumb woman. He said, I got your girl. She's in Dallas. So they went for it right away. Yeah. I never even had auditions. They just flew me to Hollywood and took me to CBS television studios and stood me up in front of a camera and held up a cue card, and I read it, and I heard one of them off the side say, my God, she's incredible. Mm. And I said, by God, give me your money and watch me get better.
Is this one of the first affirming statements you had in your life?
Probably, yes.
And I'm just thinking, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty shocking.
Yeah.
Because, you know, nobody had ever accepted me because or had anything that was, you know, valuable to say about my being a large girl.
Yes.
And so all of a sudden, they were just on top of it.
Mm.
And they were, it's funny because they were all kind of walking around scratching their chin going, what are we going to put on her? You know? And then pretty quick, somebody came out with a Jonathan Winters dress.
Yeah, well, we only got about 30 seconds. Lulu, you and I could spend days together. I love going down this memory lane with you. My goodness. Parting, as they say, is such sweet sorrow. Yes, exactly. Well, we got to read more. This is why you got to get your hands on her book. This is my story.
Yeah.
This is my song.
Yeah, all this is in the book. Much more.
And much, much more because you get to have time. It's your time turning the pages and enjoying Lulu Roman's wonderful, incredible, redemptive story. Lulu, thank you so much. God bless you. And I look forward to connecting once again because we've got to continue our conversation, all right?
We'll do this. Yep.
You take care. God bless. All right. Lulu Roman, I'm Bill Martinez live. Bye-bye.
How would you rate your kidney health? What about your liver? What about your gallbladder? Take the Quantum Cleanse 21-Day Challenge and supercharge your body. Quantum Nutrition Labs is having a special on 4 supplements designed to support organ health and detoxification. For the kidneys, liver, and gallbladder, buy 2, get the third one free. Start your 21-day challenge today. Call 888-588-7578, 888-588-7578, or visit us online at qnlabs.com. That's QNLABS.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, PhD, host of the Healthline. Tune in to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Our product line, Quantum Nutrition Labs, delivers what others only promise, nutrition that really works.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Another setback in the Senate for the bill to provide health care to September 11th attack first responders who became sick because of their work. Kentucky Republican Rand Paul stopping Democrats who wanted to unanimously pass the bill on a voice vote. Paul says he wants a debate on the bill because it includes new spending.
We need to at the very least have this debate. I will be offering up an amendment if this bill should come to the floor, but until then I will object.
Despite Paul's action, the bill is still expected to ultimately win overwhelming passage in a few weeks. The Democratic National Committee's security chief warning Democratic presidential hopefuls not to use FaceApp, the popular smartphone app that's been trending lately that makes people look older, security experts saying it was developed by Russians and raises security issues. And this is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Values. Faith. Service. They still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Truth, it's always there. You know, sometimes you wonder and you say, what happened? Did the truth get lost or did I get lost? Truth is always there, ladies and gentlemen, so you know how to figure it out. But if you abandon critical thinking and you stop asking questions and you find yourself surrounded by people of like mind, you end up being the very ones that you're critical of because you're not having a conversation. It's just, you know, maybe a series of monologues, but there's no exchange. There's no enlightenment that takes place. This is what our founding fathers had appreciated when they said, look at, you know, of the amendments. You know, we got a great constitution here, but we need to have some amendments here to the constitution. And the very first one was freedom of speech, right? And what is the very thing that's under attack in our culture today but freedom of speech? They want to, you know, the counterculture itself wants to eliminate what I like what Rachel Bavard, how she put it. She says it's a cancel culture. We want to cancel these values and these good things that heretofore historically we have benefited so tremendously of, and those want to be canceled out. I want to bring on Professor Bruce Cronin with us now, Professor of Law at Ohio Northern Law. His latest book with Ted McAllister is titled Coming Home, Reclaiming America's Conservative Soul. Professor, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, good to have you here. You know, because I think what happens with the mainstream media, the influence of the information age in which we live in, and all the punditry that's going out there, people might be led to believe that conservatism is dying.
Yeah, they very well might, and there's been a lot of folks on the conservative side of things who've let themselves give into pessimism as well. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing for us to keep in mind is that we are, in fact, inheritors of the great central tradition of America.
Exactly.
And we can't listen to the naysayers all the time.
Do you think that's a little bit of the reaction that President Trump had over the weekend that's caused so much brouhaha and has caused the House to, interestingly, pass this declaration, that they did yesterday?
Yeah, crazy stuff, although not unpredictable, right?
Right.
I think you're exactly right about the intentions of those who are destroying free speech. They're afraid of our central tradition because it's natural to us. Mm-hmm. They have to silence us because the great wide swath of America remains good.
Mm-hmm.
We remain inheritors of a great tradition, and despite everything we see in the media, everything we see from Hollywood, and everything we hear from these folks who really don't like our tradition, we're not racist, sexist, homophobes who are out to oppress other people.
Right. No, quite the contrary. I mean, look what we've done. We liberated Europe. Whenever there's any kind of natural disasters happening, we don't sit there and say, oh, they're a bunch of black people, so we're not going to respond. I mean, we're at the front of the line with money, resources, services to help our fellow humanoids going through natural disasters. I mean, time and again, it has been America leading the way, to your point. That is the very heart and at the core of the values that we hold to. But if you listen to others, you would get to think like, whoa, I didn't realize I was that bad.
Unfortunately true. The thing is, I think, what they don't like about us is what really makes us able to provide that help to other people, which is that we're self-governing.
Yes.
This isn't something the government tells us to do. We do this for ourselves, for our own communities, and it gives us the habits, the decency that we need to reach out to others who are in need as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, you imagine, we've had hints of this. This very thing of the government controlling handouts, let's just say to other countries, let's not even talk here about what happens domestically, but to other countries. And when we see bureaucracies coming in and working with third world countries because they've just been devastated by a hurricane, it's an absolute mess. What goes on. It's almost like in some cases there's been self-interest that comes along with it, and we're ashamed that the very self-interest happens to be people of our own country, politicians and others, like like buzzards. They see the money, they see the government money, and they go after there, and they're there to get their share of the funds, not to truly help the people. This is what happens with government. But when free people, when liberated people turn over their money, they're putting it on the front line, and the bureaucracy is minimized. I mean, we've become so so wise about it that we're not willing just to turn our money over to people. We start asking questions like, how much administration is involved in your organization to service the people who are in need? And in many cases now, these nonprofits are aware of that, and they're realizing in some cases, I mean, they have made adjustments to where administration costs are, maybe less than 10%. It's rare anymore that you hear of an agency. I mean, still, I think the Red Cross is out there. They might be about 25-30%. And that starts to make people feel a little uncomfortable, even though the Red Cross has a great tradition. But they need to work on that because people want to know that their money, in large part, is going to the problem, not to, administrative pockets.
No, I think that's exactly right. And it also, I think, goes to the difference between conservatives and liberals, which is liberals like programs. And a program requires people to run it.
Mm-hmm.
They believe in the goodness of a system. Conservatives believe in the goodness of people facing people, people mm-hmm. giving to other people, on the ground, face-to-face relationships. So, for instance, what we get, whether it's in foreign aid or it's domestic aid, is you have a bureaucratic structure that is set up with all kinds of charts and graphs to see to it that it has the best impact.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas what we always had for charity in our local townships, and you still have it, and what is usually provided by these independent charitable organizations, is people on the ground.
Right.
Reading the situation, making face-to-face contacts, and instead of creating this system that people can use for graft and corruption, instead of that, they directly apply the help where it's needed.
Exactly. And this is what happened before welfare came into play. It was the churches. It was local community interest, just what you're talking about, Bruce, that answered that that solution. But big government came in, and they got their way to say they can do it better. Well, all these years later, decades later, and trillions of dollars expended, how do you like me now?
Right. And that's one of the great tragedies, really, of the Obama administration, because even, you know, I don't have a lot of good things to say about Bill Clinton, but because of the politics of the time, he gave in to this idea that we needed to bring back the idea that you work for welfare payments. And that wasn't a matter of some great federal program. That was allowing states and local governments to say, all right, you need some help. We're happy to give it to you. You need to work for it. That was good for everybody because it meant that you kept your pride, you kept your dignity, you made contacts in the neighborhood. And then Obama undid it. So now we're back in the same position we were in beforehand. It was starting to work when Obama came in. They had decreasing numbers of people on welfare.
And the thing is, more importantly, what really got me excited about this, Bruce, was that the dignity of man was returning. You know, people want to know, look at, there's nothing like a job. There's nothing like earning a living, providing for your family. What that does for the dignity of humanity, you take that away from them and you start giving them money, they get cranky. The misery index goes off the charts. Now, you would think, I mean, this isn't our first rodeo. We've been doing this as a country for a long time.
Right.
You would think that, you know, we've learned enough lessons, but no, you get these bureaucrats and these liberals that want to go up on top of the roof and jump off and challenge the law of gravity once again.
Yep. Keep having to relearn the same lessons, unfortunately, because this dream of a government that can make everybody safe and happy, it keeps coming back because there's too many people who make too much money off of that and their pride feeds into it.
The utopia is a delusion, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, somebody has to wake you up if you think that that's a possibility. There's been no plan. There's no empirical evidence to support it. It's all theoretical. We've got Professor Bruce Fronin with us, and our conversation will continue right after the break. Stay with us. Are you making payments on high-interest credit cards and your mortgage, but feel like you aren't making a dent? If you're like most homeowners, you're getting a ton of calls to refi, but no one can help you save money, right? You're in luck. Our friends at Network Capital help their clients save on their debt payments an average of $528 a month. That's right. Refi those debts and you could save an average of $528 a month. That's over $6,300 a year, which could also improve your FICO scores. Call 800-700-8068 now. Network Capital Funding Corporation is a direct lender and their process is fast, simple, and secure. We urge you to call our friends at Network Capital now. 800-700-8068. Can you imagine what you could do with an extra $528 a month? Give them a call right now. 800-700-8068. That's 800-700-8068. Not licensed in all states. NMLS ID number 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law Number 603-D78. An equal housing lender subject to credit approval.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen Lennon with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$1,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how did it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Every single day, promoting truth. Bill Martinez, live.
What's it all about for us? And I thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining in on the good fight to get this country back on track. Professor Bruce Fronin is with us. He's author of the book Coming Home, Reclaiming America's Conservative Soul. You know, there's been some statements that some would qualify as a bit reckless and hurtful that have been bantered about, particularly by four Democratic congresswomen. And I'm not one necessarily to discount and just say, okay, I don't want to hear it. It has no place. It just makes me wonder. My question is, you know, where are you coming from? What evidence do you have? What is in your heart and soul? What is in your background that causes you to look at America in such a way that is rather coarse? And it's hard to hear, but I'm still interested. I don't want to join in with everybody else and get into this culture of invalidation to figure out, well, the best way to end an argument is for me to just either call you a racist or invalidate you in some sort of way to shut you up. I think that we all lose, and what that causes us to enter into is a realm of mediocrity that I think is only self-serving. And that's what happens when things are self-serving, is that we no longer are connected to excellence or even on a trajectory for excellence. We are stifled. It's like the fuel is cut in half that would allow us to, you know, get off, you know, and accelerate to the next level, if you're following my drift here. The question that the professor puts before us is, are Americans too corrupt to be free? I mean, think about that. And in a sense, you know, maybe that's partially maybe what's a bit hurtful about what Omar has said. Even though you look at her and you say, wow, you've been so blessed to come from Somalia, all the corruption that you've been exposed to, and you come here to America and you're critical of us. You know, what is it that she knows that we don't know? What is it that, you know, that she sees by way of, you know, things that maybe are unfair and corrupt? But I'm not, you know, I'm hesitant to disqualify her perspective and her emotions on this. As Bruce goes on to write, he says, as our Constitution's framers well know, a republic is the most demanding form of government. Bruce, I want to bring you in here now to expand on this. I mean, you know, what we've chosen to pursue, this great American ideal, nobody said it was going to be easy, did they?
No. It's the most demanding form of government there is, because to be a free people, is to be a self-governing people. And that means not only do we vote for our governors, it means we have to control ourselves. Exactly. We have to control our emotions. We have to control our desires. We can't expect the government to take care of us all the time. Otherwise, we become wards of the state.
It's been said a government of, for, and by we the people gets the government it deserves. And right now, where we are and the government we have, it is anecdotal, is it not?
Yeah. There are all sorts of things that we can point to and say that we're not doing very well. And I think all those data points have some validity to them. Unfortunately, though, we've got an unbalanced public conversation going on now. And I think that's the real problem. It's not that we don't want many voices. We want them. I'm sort of glad that we're hearing from people like Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders and these others, because I teach on a campus, hear these sorts of voices all the time. And they're the ones who are teaching our kids. And I like the fact that we can actually have this out in the open and debate these issues.
Mm-hmm.
The problem, I think, is that for too long, Washington policies have been subsidizing one side of that conversation. And that's the thing that needs to stop.
Well, I would say, yes, I think the bureaucracy certainly, conjoined by the mainstream media. The mainstream media has not been doing a lot of favors. It's become propagandized, sadly. And I say sadly because I think of and consider, Bruce, the talent that is dispersed throughout the mainstream media. I mean, you've got some really intelligent people, but the product that they're putting out right now, to my earlier point, has become mediocritized because of this echo chamber that they find themselves in. And there needs to be some renewal of that needed profession, you know, for their own good. I mean, their own, I would think, their own sense of self-pride and productivity that they would want, they would look at it and say, can we do better? Can we do better than we're doing right now?
Right, but I think that's exactly right. But what feeds into this is this kind of bubble that forms, because big culture, big media, big education, the universities and all, they've all been approaching things from one point of view for a long time. And a lot of that has literally been subsidized by the government through student loans, not taxing these multi-billion dollar endowments that the universities have, by allowing Facebook and Google to have this unparalleled control over the market. We're, in fact, subsidizing one side of the conversation and not allowing there to be a free competition in the marketplace of ideas.
And you're exactly right. And this is what our government is not doing in protecting our liberty. And that's what needs to occur, because everything has become so one-sided and politicized and invalidated and everything. The balance of power is out of whack. And this is why the way our founding fathers had designed the organizational chart, as you know, Bruce, I mean, it was non-traditional. It was turned upside down. It wasn't with the king on top any longer. It was the citizens on top, we the people. But if we abdicate our rightful position, you've got the 21st century America you got today.
Unfortunately, I think that's right. Although the good news, I would argue, though, is that we actually have the stronger argument. And if you look, as troubled as our country is, if you look out there, most Americans still, they get married, they stay married, they have kids, they raise their kids, they go out, they earn a living. You know, we're still basically the kind of people that we always were. We've just been listening too long to a one-sided view that Hollywood gives you.
Right.
Right? We make fun of, you know, Leave It to Beaver America. Well, those traditional forms of sitcoms and comedy movies, those don't exist any longer.
Mm.
In the same way that a real discussion on our university campuses, real discussions at our high schools, they don't take place any longer. And I would submit that a big part of the problem isn't that the government needs to get in there and change things up. It's that, again, you need to stop having federal programs that put bureaucrats in charge of our schools and that subsidize one side of the conversation.
Right. Like Ronald Reagan said, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
More frightening words could not be uttered to a true American.
And if your knees aren't shaking at that, ladies and gentlemen, experientially, then we need to talk here. But this is what's happening. And again, as we said earlier, Bruce, there's enough empirical evidence, and you're exactly right, is that it's time for people to not look to the government for the answers, because especially at the local level, when we see time and again where the rubber meets the road. I mean, it's the, you know, even the basis of this immigration chaos that's going on. What are they saying? You know, the neighboring countries, they have the solutions. They know the answer. They're familiar. Everything that involves, you know, their health care, any threat of health, you know, health and disease coming to this country 2,500 miles away, the CDC has clearly documented that we've got people coming into this country whose immune systems are tailored to their countries and their, you know, their diseases 2,500 miles away. Now they come to the United States and all suddenly we have this incredible outbreak of measles that we haven't seen since the 50s?
Right. We're just not prepared for it. And, you know, the one thing that a country has to do is identify itself.
Exactly.
Don't defend your borders. If you don't define who you are, then you really are nothing.
Right. Well, yes, first starting exactly right to define who you are and define who the enemy is. You know, John Guandolo has been with us, a former FBI agent, has been on with us many times and speaks to this truth, is that we are blindly going about, even by these agencies that are paid and are chartered with the responsibility to, you know, protect the citizens of this country. We're ignoring the obvious because of you know, politicized debate and, you know, prejudices, and we're paying a price for this. I mean, we have people right now that are being killed in this country at the hands of illegal immigrants, and I don't know if we can still say illegal immigrants anymore, because I think Congress wants to eliminate some of our language, so you know, I'm liable to get hashtagged or penalized for any words that I may have traditionally used and most people understanding, because our language is being changed right now to accommodate the lawlessness.
Right. And, you know, I'm sorry to break it to our good friends in Washington, but a member of MS-13 is not going to settle down and be a good citizen because you give him free health care.
Right. Right. Exactly. Well, you know,
extending the health care programs isn't going to solve the problem.
Right. And the thing is that whether it's sex trafficking, any other form of lawlessness, I mean, you know, this is what lawlessness promotes. It promotes more lawlessness. It doesn't resolve the problem. I mean, the people are still operating in the shadows. This is what I keep saying to everybody, is that it's not like they're going to feel comfortable calling 911 and looking for, you know, local police help. They're going to go to their local community, and there's somebody running those communities. And those are the things that are not being reported on right now, because basically what is being established in some of these Hispanic communities are some mini mafia type families, because out of necessity they have been developed and they've been put in charge to protect, to do the very thing that our government is not doing, even for its own citizens right now. Bruce Frohn has been our guest. Professor, look forward to having you back. Thank you so much for sharing with us.
It's been great. Thanks for having me.
You take care.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS, and they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Most of you know that.